The Spirit intercedes for us with signs too deep for words. We know all things work together for those who love God. Because God is for us, none can be against us. Nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from the love of God. Good morning. Please sign the attendance pad when you get a moment, and then I'll let Pastor Doris do our opening notes.
You turn it on, it works. Let me tell you, at the beginning, we got some great news, or we celebrate with Nelson and Chris the birth of their granddaughter, Naomi Patricia, born on July 28th, 7 pounds, 8 ounces, and 18 inches long. Isn't it nice to have good news? And the PowerPoint didn't work this morning, so I'm going to just highlight what would have been on there. Please note that the first and second quarter financial statements are in the back. Please pick yours up. The more that are picked up, the less we have to mail. Please note on the back, page 4, that the United Methodist Women Potluck Picnic is August 7th, 6:30. Bring a dish to pass. They may have a bonfire if the weather cooperates. That sounds good. And that will be at Mary and Tom Clark's home, and that address is there. Also, if the Spirit is moving anyone to teach Sunday school this year, we have need for a teacher for the 3rd, 4th, and 5th grade. Contact Lisa Wenzel if God is calling you to do that. And also, if you are one of the people who received an email that there is something in the office on the counter for you, please stop and pick that up after worship. The community meal will be at 4 o'clock this afternoon. The outreach committee will meet at 6:30 Tuesday evening. SOFAs are going to meet at 11:30 Sunday morning at Jungi Park. What did I say? What came out of my mouth? Okay. One short circuit. Yeah, potluck at 11:30 on Wednesday at 11:30. And next Saturday, the Flavors of Sauk Prairie that has been at the 4th of July is going to be at Graceway Church. Concordia is going to have representation there with the youth will have representation, having made cheesecakes. And the money that is raised from this day will support Feed My Starving Children, which will, that PAC will happen in October. Are there other announcements this morning? Yes. The Relay for Life is Friday. Do you know what time it begins? Okay.
Let's join together in singing, Surely the Presence of the Lord is in this place, in the Red Hymnals 328. Join me in our praise. Come with confidence before our God, for nothing can separate us from the love of God. Can hunger?
No.
Can hardship?
No.
Can people who are against us?
No.
Can death?
No.
Can anything in all creation?
No.
Then let us worship this most amazing God. Will you please stand, and we'll sing Near to the Heart of God in your Red Hymnals 472. Remain standing. Join me in our praise. Our gracious and ever-loving God, we come in the midst of summer looking for refreshment. We rest in the knowledge of the wonderful works you have done for us and of the deep abiding love you have for us and for all your people. Search my heart, O God. Fill my soul with your dwelling spirit, who whispers to my soul that all will be well if I but trust in you. Shine your light before me, that I may see my path to you and to your kingdom on earth. Amen. Amen.
You may be seated.
Okay, we'll start. I have a reading from Romans chapter 8, 26 through 39. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with signs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, know what in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good, for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom, he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that we might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? If it is God who justifies, who is to condemn? If it is Jesus Christ, who died? Yes, who will raise? Who is at the right hand of God? Who indeed intercedes for us? Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angel nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of Christ, love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. In our midst of gifts, we got Chris Davis.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? Jesus is my portion. My constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Let not thy heart be troubled. His tender word I hear, and resting in his goodness, I lose my doubt and fears. Though draw the closer to him, from care he sets me free. His eye is on the and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when song gives place to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to him. From care he sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me.
Our next reading is from Matthew, chapter 13, 31 to 33, and then we jump to 44 to 52, the parable of the mustard seed. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown to the greatest of the shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds in the air come and make nests in it, in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with three measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasures hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that has thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew ashore and sat down and put the good in the basket, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of his household who brings out of his treasure and is the what is new and what is old.
I'm not as good as Jesus is. I tried to think of a parable, and the closest I can come is the kingdom of God or the love of God is like conjoined twins who are conjoined in their by their brain, or conjoined by their heart. They can't be separated and live. The reading from Romans today is a favorite of many people who are in the churches. If Paul's love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, is a favorite for weddings, Paul's chapter to the Romans, this particular passage, is a favorite for funerals. And I think that it might be a favorite because with death, we feel separation. And the Word of God here reminds us that even death does not separate us from the love of God. We all know about separation. Anyone who has worked with children, one of the popular or more common things to say to them right now, if they are in school and they make a decision and get in trouble, someone will ask them, "Did you make a wise decision?" Or if children are going to be doing something and they're going to have the possibility of two different decisions, one that might be good for them and one that might not. As they're going out the door, parents will say, "Be sure to make wise choices." We know that this life gives us choices. And those choices cause us to either include or exclude. Every decision that we make leads us to separate from the other option. We can't do everything. So when we do something, it excludes the other. That leaving behind is a source of pain for human beings. The most natural thing that all of us experience, like growing up, causes us to leave something behind. We cannot become an adult without leaving our childhood behind. We do not stay young forever, so we leave our young adulthood behind with all the potential that it holds. We understand, in the usual course of things, that one parent will die before the other. We raise our children with the full expectation that they're going to go away from us, that they're going to step out on their own, they're going to meet someone at some point and make a commitment to them. They're going to get married and they're going to start the process all over again. At the very heart of what it means to be human is separation from the people whom we love. To be a human being is to have loss and grief. No one is able to escape loss and grief. And anyone who has remotely loved anyone or anything is going to suffer grief and loss and is going to know the painful power of separation. The hardness of life, the struggle that it presents us nearly every day, is easy to pass over, but ultimately difficult to ignore. Paul gives us a list of things that separate. Distress. We all have distress in our lives. It's a frequent force. We cannot complete what we want to finish, so we are in distress. When we have done all that we can do about something and still fail, we are in distress. Paul reminds us of persecution, or as Kevin read, harassment. The violence that is done to men and women because of their inclusion in one group whether it's biological or social or something that is a conviction of ours, it remains a force in our life with the capacity to separate. Famine, nakedness, peril, sword, Paul reminds us that the forces that separate are many. Sometimes that separation can cause us to be overwhelmed. So it might seem remarkable when Paul proclaims about these powers loudly and firmly, no, these things cannot separate us from God. Shall these things prevail, he says? Shall these things have the capacity to undo us, to undo the most central element in our lives, God's love? Do they have that power? No. And so Paul makes a confession. He says, I am convinced. And there are those among us who can make this confession as well. I am convinced that nothing will prevail against God's love. Sometimes these things happen to us because of choices of others or because of choices that we have made. This is a word today to the church as well as to us as individuals. When the church persecutes, when we have claimed God's power of love to foster hardship or distress or famine, or even if we allow them to complete, to continue, then we are part of that which causes separation. Remember in the response to the brutal treatment of African Americans during slavery, there came the Negro spirituals that gave them comfort and strength to go day by day. We shall overcome. In responses to the abuses of power and greed today, we hear, we shall overcome. We are convinced of this because of the power of God's love in God's creation. In our own lives, how many times have we turned to these words? Now, as a pastor, this is one of my favorite passages. It begins with the statement, we know that God works all things together for good for those who love God. That has lifted me up and strengthened me so many times when I have felt like I was beaten down. And I know I'm not the only one. And Paul's confession, I am convinced that nothing can separate us from the love of God that we know in Jesus Christ, can lift us up out of everything. So what if there is one whom we love who is grieving a new prognosis of cancer? They had received the miracle drug, but the miracle drug is now no longer working. And this one who is walking through this prays every day on knees before leaving the bedroom This one of bedrock who nurtured children to believe in the power of prayer struggles with illness in the hand of the God in whom all trust is given. What next? What now? Nothing separates us from God. That is Paul's testimony. That is our testimony. Our inability to pray when we don't know what to say, God's Spirit prays on our behalf, sighing, that expresses words beyond what we have. Our inability to see God's plan for our lives because we are blinded sometimes by disease and grief, blinded by what we cannot see, that cannot separate us from the love of God. Not our circumstances. Even though we feel abused or abandoned, our God is the one who uses all of life for good. God uses all of our experiences to teach us something, to strengthen us, to give us compassion for others. Our God does not bring cancer. God does not cause the disaster, but God holds the pieces together while we lean on those everlasting arms. And God creates the conditions for our love to open up spaces within us so that our lives are transformed. God did not withhold even his own son, but teaches us what it means to be human beings with the Spirit of God within us. God gives to us that divine spark. And since God is on our side, God is on the side of love, who can be against us? Nothing in all of life, not even death, can separate us from the love of God. Those are powerful words. Especially when sunshine outside dares to make light of hope. The brokenness of our hearts and the brokenness in the world do not take vacation, as it seems many are doing. With the warm sun on our face, the humid summer winds at our back, we whom God have called need to know that blessed assurance that the love of God does not wane even in the longest and darkest nights. But God is a very present help who stands with us in all that we experience, the trials, the difficulties. And sometimes we only realize that we've not been separated from God in retrospect. We'll say, wasn't God present with us in that hospital room when the pastor prayed with us? Wasn't God there when we held hands in a circle and saying, nearer, my God, to thee? I am thinking that as you all are listening this morning, you can think of one of those times that may have been very difficult for you, and you didn't know it at the time, but later realized that God was with you. I was in the intensive care unit. I was blind. They had delivered my daughter by emergency C-section, and I was not able to see her. I was not even able to touch her. She was in a different ICU. I asked to have a chaplain come and visit me. And I was so sick that I couldn't even talk. I was just very sick. But I knew that that sister was there sitting beside me. She said, "What can I do for you?" I said, "Just be here." I think that I was so sick that I didn't know it at the time. But in retrospect, I know that God was with me. And I know that God was with my 3.5-pound baby. We need to have stories like this for the times that we forget. We need to have stories like this to share with one another. When we forget that God is with us always, that nothing can separate us from the love of God, that God is closer to us than we can fathom. Now, since I've been here for 5+ years, I know that if I stop and say, "Would you all turn toward one another and share one of those stories?" You're not going to do it. But I do hope that you will hold on to one of those stories and share it with one another. Because the other piece about this is that we don't know that the person sitting next to us this morning doesn't need that assurance right now. Amen. God gives us the opportunity to share from our riches for the ministries of this church and Christ Church in the world. We give that Christ's redeeming love might be known by all people. I invite the ushers to come and receive our gifts. Let us pray together. Lord, receive the offerings and our lives. Use all of these blessings to work for you in this world. Guide us to wise care of all you have given us, for all that comes from you and for all that you call us to share. We give you thanks. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We want to continue to pray for Phyllis Grochon's family. And we want to celebrate with the Davises. Also, a group of adults and youth from this congregation are joining with others throughout the state at United Methodist Children's Services this week for the volunteer admission program. We want to keep them in our prayers. Are there others? Let us pray. Gracious God, in the time of silence, we center ourselves in thanksgiving for the blessings which are beyond our counting. In times of silence, we focus on those people whom we love, who are in pain, who are suffering, and who are in need of healing. We think of those situations in our world that seem broken beyond fixing to us, that seem lacking of love to us. But even there, your love does amazing things. We gathered here today, coming from different experiences, to hear the word of your healing love. We offer our prayers for friends and family who are in need. Help us not to withhold ourselves from you. Help us when we think that we are not very important or not of much real worth. When we think that we are insignificant in your kingdom, remind us that your love has been poured out on us, that you have given us hope and compassion. You have given us that which gives life meaning and purpose. Help us to be people who are so confident in your presence that we will step out in faith to work in those places of need, to witness to your love in all that we do, and proclaim your presence with our mouths and with our actions. Help us to continue to minister to Phyllis's family as they walk through their grief. Hear our prayers for Naomi Patricia, for her brothers, for her parents, for her extended family, as they receive this new young child to shower with love. And hear our prayers for all of the volunteers in mission this week, that they would have safe travel to and from Milwaukee, that their time of giving and sharing and working would be a blessing to them as well as those whom they serve. Hear our prayer. We lift it in Jesus' name and we pray as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. But deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our closing hymn is Great is Thy Faithfulness. You know, one of the blessings that a pastor has is every time we sing this, I remember two people who have said to me, that is my favorite song. And even though they are gone from this life now, I remember them every time. Number 140, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Joy celebrating all the many ways that we have to serve our God. God will give us courage, hope, peace, and love that we might bear these gifts to others. Go in peace. Amen.